Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. Well, today I have, a really special guest. It's someone that I probably should have connected with a long time ago, but I, for whatever reason, just hasn't been the right timing. So I'm very excited to have Lori Wilson with us. Now, Lori Wilson, you've done some pretty incredible stuff, but you have a school on medical intuition. You do channelings with an entity or someone that you call grandmother. And we're going to do a little bit of what's coming up in 2019, because it's supposed to be an interesting year. Let's talk about, you know, kind of what you're into and what you're doing. And hopefully we'll have you back in the new year, and we'll, you know, maybe chat about some of the other things that are going on with you. But I'm really excited to have you on the show. So welcome to the show, Lori.
Well, thank you. It's really nice to be here. And yes, when you said, I don't know why we haven't connected earlier, I think we've just been looking after different departments in life.
I guess.
Great. Well, I'm glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Did you want to have me give your listeners a little bit of an idea of what it is,
yes,
that
please.
I do, just so that they got an idea?
Absolutely.
My background in training, actually, Lori, originally is as a social worker.
Me
so
too.
It's a small world. I have, since the beginning of my career in the 80s, I've always maintained my private practice, doing regular counseling. But early in my career, I discovered that there was a whole other world out there, of intuition and invisible information. It didn't happen like I was taking a course or reading a book and thought, oh, I'd like to discover more. It happened quite naturally when I was doing some journal writing, making a very difficult decision for my own personal life. Mm. And so I thought, oh, I better follow my own advice. I tell everyone else to write in their journal. Don't go insane. Write it in your journal. And then it was at that point in time in 1989 when this wonderful, beautiful spirit guide, I came to know her as a spirit guide, but she showed up just as a visual in my mind's eye, not like an apparition or a vision that you would see outwardly, but as I was focusing and writing, this beautiful Native Indian woman showed up in my mind's eye. And she said to me, the first thing she said to me actually in my journal writing was, I am Ruth, keeper of the whales, 'tis I who send them to you in your dreams. And I had been dreaming about whales for almost every night, which is uncommon, for about 3 years prior to that. And I grew up along the north shore of the St. Lawrence River in Quebec, and so I thought there's always whales there, and I could always, you know, feel them and run down to the beach when they were going to breach. And so I thought I was just kind of homesick a bit. Mm. But sure enough, she was sending the whale's energy to me, I guess, to harmonize or acclimatize to opening up to a whole lot of more, you know, about the spirit world. Mm. So I wasn't looking for it, but she showed up in my journal writing, and I thought at the time that it was just like creative imagination. Mm. You know, Shakti Gawain was really big back then, mm-hmm. with creative visualization, and that was certainly some of the reading I had done. So I thought, oh, I'm making up an archetype or an icon of a grandmother figure, and of course she'd be Native because I love anything to do with nature and Native culture. And And so she started talking to me. So that was our routine for several months. I'd wait till my kids would go to sleep at night, and then I'd go to my journal and, grandmother, are you there? And she said that she was my grandmother from a past life, in the 1400s, where we had lived in the Wind River area of Wyoming. And that was when she was last on the earth. And then she said, you know, that was the time where we had to start burying the wisdom, and we couldn't teach our children in traditional ways any longer. And she says, I couldn't teach you anything more until you found me again. And I'm thinking, in my personal pit of despair, in Guelph, Ontario. You know, I love our city, but it has such a funny name, Guelph, Ontario. It didn't sound very, you know, fancy or noble. So sure enough, you know, we would chat back and forth in my journals. And I always see her very clearly in my mind's eye when I ask her to come. And then I hear her, and so then I repeat what it is she's saying. So it took a number of months just of playing with that, and I just thought it was me talking to myself, you know, an archetype within myself. Then I read a few excerpts to a girlfriend of mine who was, you know, certainly a mentor for me and had a lot more exposure to things. And she said, Lori, you know, you're channeling. That isn't like your imagination. You're actually channeling. Grandmother's real. Like, she's real. She really was your grandmother from the past, and she really is a guide, and she is here to help everyone. And so I thought, oh, okay, like, what's a guide? Or, you know, what's channeling? I had never even heard of it. So it actually was really, really a nice, gentle introduction to the field, because I didn't know what it was, but I had already met grandmother and talked to her for months on end, so I already was very comfortable with the relationship. I just had to reframe it a little bit. So I did some reading about channeling and what it was, and I thought, oh, okay, well, you could turn it on and off, and that's how it works for me, and sure. So, of course, now that I had told that one friend, she sort of outed me into our community here, and then people were calling for appointments, not just for counseling, and I was doing some past life and age regression as well, but then they were wanting to book an appointment with grandmother. So that became one of the busiest areas of my life and career, private practice-wise, for years and years on end. Then when I would be working with grandmother, if there was something physical going on with the person's body, something to do with their health, for example, she'd kind of look sideways at me in my mind's eye and then, you know, indicate like, okay, you go in there and talk about what physiologically. I thought, because I had 1 year of nursing out of high school, that I, you know, okay, I probably know more physiology than somebody who's lived in the 1400s in the Wind River of Wyoming. They didn't have too many textbooks back then. So I'm just helping grandmother out with the physiology, describing. But then what I realized very early on, like probably within a year of doing that spontaneously, that she was actually teaching me in her own wonderful way that the body itself, the physical body, is a completely separate, unique source of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So just as I could go to grandmother and channel her wisdom as I was learning with her, I could also go to the client's body and not channel it like a talking conversation, but have the body be the guide and show us what was out of balance, what was out of order. And so the same paying attention skills that I had developed as a social worker, you know, had carried over and allowed channeling to become quite easy, because it was just paying attention to somewhere invisible. And then it took it a step further to being able to pay attention to the body as another unique source of wisdom. So then clients would be coming, not, you know, for an appointment for counseling. They'd want to either see grandmother, or they'd want to have what we called at the beginning a body scan, that people wanted to just scan their bodies and find out what was going on with that. So I was happily doing that for a number of years. And then that same colleague, interestingly enough, you know, my almost manager, she had taken a course with Norm Shealy and Carolyn Mace, which, of course, if anybody hears the term medical intuition, that those are the pioneers that put that whole phenomena and coined the term on the map. So she had taken a course with them and had called up Norm and said, hey, you know, got Lori in Canada here doing, I think she's doing what you guys are doing. And so Norm, I don't know if you know Norm.
A little bit.
He's so curious and such a pioneer of all things. So he called me up and said, you know, hi, this is who I am. And I'd never heard of him at that point in time. And he, you know, was wanting a scan. So I was like, okay, sure, I can do a scan for you. And so then he says, well, you are doing medical intuition, don't you know? And it's like, well, what's that? What's that name and term? And who are you? And so we got to know each other. He and I did a fair bit. And the same year as they were launching their medical intuition training back in 2000, I had already put together my course, which we've been teaching since the year 2000 in medical intuition. And so I invited him up to come in and sit in on our course with us, because our style is very, very different, almost opposite, actually. And so he had a great time. And, of course, our students were thrilled out of their minds that we had this wonderful colleague coming and sitting in on our class and comparing the differences and just adding a whole lot of fun to the class. So I've been doing this work, you know, with my regular counseling, but also this intuition-based work since, probably 1995, and then starting in 1994, we started teaching we call it Access Intuition class, teaching other people how to connect with their own guides, you know, higher self, connect with loved ones. We have 8 different sources of wisdom we teach them to do. And then in the year 2000, we started teaching the medical intuition training because, well, as you know, to put a course together, it takes years to format it and put it together and then to teach it. So since 1994, we've taught over 10,000 students how to apply a lot of rigor to learning intuitive skills, and probably about close to 500 now of the medical intuition students.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's been a wonderful journey. If you would have told me in high school or even when I was doing my social work training, hey, this is what you're going to do for a living, you know, teach people how to palpate invisible realms and track them and channel them very well, I don't think I would have known what you were talking about.
I totally know what you're saying.
Exactly. Now, life does take us on a different path sometimes. So we are very, very privileged to, you know, to have created the classes and teach the classes. 2 years ago, just at the end of 2017, we decided that instead of traveling all over the place teaching, we were teaching in the States as well as in Canada, that and I have 6 trainers that can teach those classes that I mentioned. I decided that, you know, everybody's kind of getting busy and travel and funds and things for people, you know, it's a big commitment to travel and study. And so I thought, well, we have the blessing of technology, and I'm a homebody anyway, so I'd rather not travel. So we have been putting all of our courses in an online format.
Wonderful.
So right now our website has the online classes, the intuition-based classes, and we have ones that are just an hour long, like a lesson or a lecture, or a couple of hours, 3 or 4 hours, or the larger trainings that we've mentioned, the learning how to channel kind of access intuition class, which is 25 hours, and the medical intuition training, which is 125 hours. It's all online now. So it's, again, a huge commitment, as you would well know, in your business, to do, you know, one hour of film that you see is 6 hours of editing and you know, probably 12 hours of creation of the product. So it's a huge labor of love to convert it. But that way, right now we're reaching students. We have probably about 2,000 students right now on that site, and you know, they're all from all over the world, and they can do it in their own time zone. You know, they learn at their own pace. They can go back and review the material. So there's a lot of benefits to this whole online learning, which you know, I'm continuing to discover myself.
That's great.
So I mean, you'll see other things on our website that we also teach: artist intuition and business intuition. Right now we don't have those in the online format, but they're coming up next year. Because the same, you know, it's all about paying attention, right? So if you're paying attention and you know that there can be other things that you can palpate, feel, pay attention to, receive information to, you can really apply a lot of the skills we teach in our classes to anything. So a lot of my friends and colleagues are artists. My kids are artists. My parents are, my mom was an artist. So I would find artists coming and saying, you know, I don't know why. I guess I feel so scattered, you know, I get working on one thing and then I jump to another and I don't know where I'm creating from. And so then just in play and in tracking and paying attention, I realized that a lot of artists are creating from a lot of different input. They're getting inspired from a lot of different places, but they don't always know where it's coming from. And they you know, have a writer's block or a, you know, a creative block we hear of all the time. And it's not so much that they really have a block. It just means they're overwhelmed with all the different places the creativities or the inspirations piping in from. So in the artist intuition class, we teach people 9 different places you can create from, or influences that might be influencing your creativity, and what do they like and what do they feel like, so that, one, you can know where you're creating from, and two, you don't get overwhelmed or get the creative block going on, and, you know, three, you can just keep adding to the creativity by pulling in some of these other wonderful resources, whether it's all of the artists in your area of your field or a particular artist that you want to connect with for some inspiration or input, or maybe you're creating for the audience. Maybe mm-hmm. you're creating a play or a drama, mm-hmm. you know, theater performance, but you're creating it more from the audience's perspective. So if you know where you're creating from, it's a lot more of a flow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the business intuition, again, that was something that evolved more organically once a lot of my colleagues found out I was doing this intuitive work. They're like, you know, can you come and check my business, or can you use your powers? They didn't even know how to language it. Use your thing, you know, on your intuition is what they meant, on my business. So with the business intuition, yes, I teach that class and do that myself privately. I'm not channeling your body to get the information. Right. I'm not connecting with grandmother. She's not shedding light on your business. I'm actually connecting to what we call the innate intelligence of your business, mm-hmm. almost like its persona. And so you're getting the information, receiving the information, but it's business itself. Sometimes even if the business not even created yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, how fun is my job?
Yeah, really.
I really quite enjoy it. It's an honor to serve so many people and to do, you know, to be in this kind of creative and connected world with other energies. Of course, you know, there's the whole business aspect of it to make it happen and do everything. It doesn't just pop out of the woodwork. It's a lot of work between myself and my husband, Stuart Hope, who runs the business with me.
Nice.
But we're, you know, we love it. We're passionate about it. And we see results, right? We see people learning the skills. We 100% believe and have from the word go that everyone can learn to hone their intuition to whatever degree they would like to. They just need some tools, some skills.
Right. It's mm-hmm. funny, while you were talking about that, I think, now, we have done an interview, but it was a very long time ago, and it was actually Angelo Carrero's interview. So he was the one that was interviewing you. I was just sort of hosting it. And mm-hmm. During that interview, you actually gave a very short insight into, you know, both of our careers or what was going on with us. And you had mentioned mm-hmm. some business stuff for me. And taking my work into more of a business perspective, which I'd never really looked at before. And since then, a lot of the work that I've been doing has been around business and clearing. And so it is interesting that, you know, I mean, I didn't even remember it until we started talking and you were talking about the business. And I went, oh, yeah,
I do remember that
message.
Oh, isn't that great to hear? That's exciting. Yeah, that would have been a while ago for
sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's fun when we can access the information from, you know, more invisible realms. Sometimes the timing is not the same as Earth everyday time here.
Absolutely.
But the essence is usually really accurate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I just sort of remembered it as you were talking. I was like, oh, that's a kind of a big point I should bring up because it's like, wow, look at that. So yes,
that's
it
great.
Does work. So yeah, you might want to connect in with Lori,
mm-hmm.
which of course your website is interaccess101.com. Is that your
Correct.
Main website?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and when people go to our website, you'll see 3 different branches of our work.
Mm.
One is called Access Marketplace that we're just kind of beginning, which is referrals to other people in the health or helping industry. the area you want to look for, that if you're thinking of the intuition work, is this is called Inner Access 101, which is our teaching leg. So that's the intuition-based classes. So if you click on that, then you'll come to another submenu that talks about either life skills, intuition skills, or professional intuition skills. Some of the classes are just for people who are already in helping professions, but most of what we teach is very foundational. So you just click on the intuition skills, and then all of the courses that would be applicable for you are there on our platform that has the online work. So, you know, you can just scroll through the pages, and there's a lot of free lessons and free classes. As I said earlier, things that are just maybe a two-hour webinar on a certain topic, like we talk about one, the thinning of the veil, why spirits can't haunt us anymore, or how to set up a body cue for your own body and things like that. There's like two-hour little webinars. Or then there's more in-depth ones where we have one that's, I think, 4 or 5 hours, stabilizing fear, or how to have clear boundaries, you know, especially when you're working with your own self and intuition and other people. We need to have an understanding of what even a boundary is and how do we have a clear boundary. We've got a couple of nice two-hour ones on updating your paradigms around intuition, because my experience has been that we keep progressing in the world and technology and communications and things like that, but we are quite behind as far as some of our philosophies and paradigms that we're using around intuition. And so people can be confused about, you know, things. And so we're just trying to update some of the information. So there's shorter courses, or as I said earlier, there's the longer ones, where you're going through and learning, you know, how to channel 8 different sources of wisdom in the Access Intuition class, or the full medical intuition training, which again is very extensive. That one's about 125 hours long of learning, and there's a 500-page manual that goes with it. So it's not just a theoretical course. It's like, if you don't come out of this course knowing how to do this work, I haven't done my job.
Right.
So it's pretty detailed, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So if people want to go to the website, they can see that. And then the third leg of the business is my private services. So if people are looking for appointments, you know, they can book appointments with me as well for any of those services. And, you know, I keep trying to do myself out of a job by way of doing the individual work, by creating more people that are very skilled at doing this work. But so far, I still continue to be requested, so there's a section there too.
It's always more empowering to know that you mean, we do want to learn our own stuff, and yet at the same time we like to have the confirmation, I think. So I think that, you know, you being able to do your work and having the extensive knowledge that you do, people just, they gravitate towards that. So it's always fun. And you can do them anywhere.
I imagine until I leave the planet, I'll still be doing that. So. And I'm not planning on going anywhere soon.
Good.
Yeah. The other fun thing that's on the online course, and I would encourage any of your listeners to just pop on there and browse around. There's a lot. Grandmother, as we mentioned earlier, my spirit guide, her mission has always been to teach people to trust themselves and to trust themselves first. So since I met her in 1989, she was very, very clear. It's like, I'm here for you, but mostly I'm here for other people, which is perfectly wonderful. It's like, good, let's align. So we have a daily inspirational teaching, like a 5-minute audio that we do every day. And it's not just like a nice little, you should think about this happy thought. It's actually, she puts her finger on the pulse of the day, you know, the day, the actual physical day. We do it the night before. And she's looking into the day to kind of look at the energetic climate of what the day is. Like today, for example, which is, as we're recording this, is the 11th. She says, today poses a few challenges as you are shorter on patience than your usual. as such, employ diplomacy with others and strive very hard to not take offense where none is intended. So it's like, okay, this is a day where we need to kind of really pay attention to that, or maybe another day we're supposed to be getting on our to-do lists, or, you know, being appreciative of something that we've forgotten. Or so it's kind of looking at how to maximize the day. So a lot of people listen to that, you know, just to kind of get there. It's like the horoscope for the day, I guess, is the best way of saying it. And then we have a monthly focus as well. So every at the first of every month, we post a two-page teaching on kind of what this month is all about. Yes. And then you and I were talking before the show that every year we do a two-hour webinar on what's the focus for the year that we're in. So this Thursday, and some of your listeners may not even know about it because we might be airing after.
No, it'll be aired on Thursday, but yes.
On Thursday.
I will get
to it immediately. if you go on to our website, you know, and go to the online classes section that we mentioned in the Intuition series, it's right on the first page. It's called Focus 2019. It's free. Everyone can join in. And it's airing live on the Thursday night, 7 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. But if people can't make it, or they're busy, or they're in a different time zone, or they didn't hear the announcement, 2 days later, the replay is posted on that same page. So you can sign up anytime and listen to the replay about what the year's focus is all about. And this year, grandmother's given me small details, because, of course, it's like a surprise for me to find out, too, even though I have to put the presentation together with sketchy details. She said that this year, 2019, coming up, is going to be the year of claiming, is the word she's using. Learning how to be fully claimed ourselves so that we can feel anchored and belong and go out and do all the things we want to do for ourselves, but also learning how to more effectively claim things in our own life. Nice. I'm assuming, you know, it could be a number of things, whether it's your job or your position in your community, or how to claim a relationship, or, you know, how to claim abundance, or how to claim the, you know, health or full health. But it's not just how to want it or get it. It's something about this word claiming that we're going to really get a solid anchor on.
So kind of like owning? Is that
kind of like what was
owning?
That, right?
Like owning your...
Yeah, owning it and really feeling... my sense is, again, because we haven't done the presentation yet, my sense is that you're owning it, but you're owning it as part of something much bigger. Right. So it's like you and I could be in our own individual arenas of the earth, which of course we have been, and many others like ours, doing our own work, and we're really owning our own work, as you do with your show and all of your offerings, and we are doing ours over here, and somebody over there is doing theirs. But then if we claim it, we're owning it, plus somehow we just know we belong to something bigger. So there's an interconnectivity, I think, that is going to be really nicely anchored into us.
Okay, so that makes sense with some of what I've been hearing, which is that this is about divine alignment. So it's that alignment that is bringing the owning to the claiming, maybe.
Yes, yes. And maybe, you know, grandmother has a wonderful way of, you know, putting everything in the simplest terms possible, which I really appreciate about her. So, you know, you could read that through the divine alignment language and frame of reference and perfectly understand what she would be talking about.
Right.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah. This year, interestingly enough, Lori, the 2018 that we're just finishing up, she called this the year of permanent change. And it's like, oh, my God, you're kidding? Yeah. Everybody's like, yes. Everybody's got their big, long list of what's changed, and not just little changes either, like huge changes. Again, relationship or job or career or health or, you know, moves. And it's been a very huge year for people. And it's kind of nice to know not only what the theme is, but she always gives us some strategies about how to operationalize it. And that's why we leave the webinar on all year, because I mean, I myself have to go back and usually listen to it about 3 or 4 times throughout the year to, it's like, oh my God, I forgot to do that. Or, oh, that's what that is. And I already channeled it, but you think I'd remember, but you know, we all just get busy living life and we forget.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Well, there's a bigger purpose as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's that living life part that kind of removes us from that pure connection that we know and love, and yet we still need to be reminded, like, okay, go back there.
Yes, it's that's so right. True. Where's that pure love and connection going to pay that hydro bill? Yeah. I think that's, you know, I've noticed a really big change, and I'm sure you have as well in your career, that, you know, even from the 80s and 90s, you know, right into probably up to 2012 even, like, people were just so inspired and happy to know that there was more, you know, than meets the eye. They were kind of getting used to the concept. But then there was a real almost like, okay, if I just think the right thoughts, or if I just do the right things, or say the right mantra, or have my head in the right direction, that all of life will just work out. Well, that's a pretty good fairy tale. You know, it doesn't really work that way. But we can always frame things in the bigger perspective, you know, come back to that grounding. But I have found in the last 3 or 4 years, people are getting less hung up on, you know, sitting and pouting about their life not working because I did those 3 things and it should all be now working. It's like, no, we still have to pull our weight. We still have to make choices. We still have hurts and pains and, you know, things that don't work out the way we want to, but we can ease our way through them much better with the bigger frame of reference that you know, I think everybody's teaching. So it's kind of nice to not be feeling so sorry for ourselves some days. Some days we still do, all of us. But it's like, okay, well, just we are continuing to grow, you know, with the philosophies and that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, are we going to get a message for you for the coming year? I mean, I think maybe.
Let's do that. The other thing I wanted to say before we stopped is that you were mentioning prior to starting is that you not only will you leave up the message for next year all year, but you also have a couple years prior, so that if you wanted to look at, you know, what was sort of happening this year and understand it better, even though you just got a little brief tiny taste of it, you can then go back and listen to it and see how your life, how everything sort of unfolded from grandmother's message. So I think that's important.
Definitely.
To know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and sometimes we understand things almost better in hindsight, right? It's like, oh, okay, now I understand that more fully. The other piece, too, as I mentioned earlier, we have the daily focus and the monthly focus as well, and the monthly focus goes back to, and the daily ones, I think when we started posting things were maybe November 2017. So if you had a particularly challenging month or a really like, wow, this turned my life around month or even a week, you can always go back into the teachings when you sign up for it. You can go down and scroll down to, geez, yeah, last September, that was a crazy month. I want to read that monthly focus. Or I want to go back to that important week or that day where I just changed my life around. You can always go back and listen to the past postings of the monthly end or the daily. The monthly is written.
Right.
It's written so you could print it out. And then the daily is the 5-minute audio.
Oh,
so
nice.
Those are there. And again, there's no charge for any of those. People can just come and go as they please.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Perfect. So are we going to do the message here so your audience can hear it? Are we doing it separately or what are we doing?
Oh, no, we're going to do it so everybody can hear. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. All right.
Just so they can get an example of what you do.
Yeah, perfect. All right. Well, when I channel, when I ask grandmother to come into my mind's eye, I just take a breath. And if, you know, if you were watching me, like in some of the webinars that we have on our screen, I just take a breath and I just sort of look off to the side. Because for me, when I ask her to come, it's like a video starts in my mind. So it's visual. I see her and then I would see her and you together. And then whatever she's saying, like if she's giving you something or somebody else pops in or in your certain scene or setting, I always like to describe those nuances because they have meaning as well.
Of course.
And then whatever she says to you directly, then I just repeat that word for word. So when we teach our students channeling, we say it's really like a translator's job where you're just taking information from one source and delivering it to another. So I don't get to have a pick or a vote or an opinion, or I don't even need to know what she's talking about. I just need to deliver the message. Mm-hmm. So once we get our head around the concept, it's pretty straightforward to do. But sometimes people will say, how come you're always looking off to the side? Why aren't you looking in the camera when you're channeling? Or why aren't you looking at me one-on-one in our appointment? It's like, no, because I'm concentrating on what grandmother's showing or saying or doing. I'm not concentrating on you. So nice. I will be the cable and see what message she has for you for the coming year. That's awesome. Beautiful. So as I take a breath, she has a couple of images that she's bringing to you. She's very happy to sit with you, Lori, and she's being very, very playful. The images that we're seeing at the beginning are you almost like in a circus, but it's outdoors in a big, big like field in like the prairies. But you're standing on like a horse, and then you jump to the other horse, and you have like a tutu on.
Oh my!
You're very acrobatic, and then grandmother, and then there's a house in the distance that seems to be very important as well. And grandmother smiles and she says, "The reason that I have started this message by showing you your acrobats on these different ponies, as it were, is that for most of your life, the beginning of your life, you have been called to be in the spotlight and responsible for far too much, child, more than any one person should ever have to be responsible for. And then throughout your career thus far, you have risen to the needs of others. You have risen to the challenges. You have risen to the different performances. And when I say performances, I am not meaning entertainment or anything false. They have been very inspiring, all of the performances you have given. And so for you, for now, as we move into 2018, you are still going to continue to be a part of what brings people joy and entertainment and peace inside of their hearts. But you are very, very interested in that cabin over there. You are very interested in getting off of the horses and also having some very, very good, solid time of seclusion. Mm. Not because you need to grow or you need to heal or you need to advance yourself, but you've been promising yourself for years, nearly 20 years, that you would do some writing.
Mm-hmm.
You have been promising yourself that you would do a little more of nothing. And so between gardening, which you are not really set up to do at this moment in time, but theoretically you could imagine it, and doing your writing and having some great alone time, this is why the cabin symbolically is calling you next year. And so find a way to balance your existing commitments, perhaps by scaling them down only to 70% of what you are doing, and then adding this 30% to this time of great enjoyment, great delight, great solitude. You can still invite others over for dinner in your cabin symbolically. You can still have time with friends or people that you are making a deep connection with. But it is this synthesis, shall we say, of all of your years of learning that you want to bring forward into not only a new message by way of your writing, and it does not need to be writing, it could be speaking, but it does need to be teaching us somehow how to put things together, how to not only be the best person we can be, but how to do it, I want to say, divinely, uniquely to our own selves. You have always valued the uniqueness of individuals. That is one of your finest attributes. And so people need a bit of coaxing and encouragement on how to follow some basic principles that you have learned over the years that you can teach us, but how to make it divinely unique to them.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so whilst perhaps someone could donate a cabin to you that is not very far from where you are living, it does not mean you need to go live in a field in a cabin, but to cloister away and find that time for just to gel and let things synthesize. Not only will it be re-inspiring for you, it will open up a whole new set of colleagues for you. It will open up new ways for you to get your work and your word out, but it will also be fortifying for your body as well. And so it is a good year ahead for you in many, many accounts. Sometimes you have had challenges with people who get to be called in your inner circle. Mm. And so the amount of discerning that you have had to do over the last 5 years has not been pleasant for you. And so you have that air of refinement and discernment managed, and that does not mean you will be alone in your cabin, but you'd only need a handful, literally one handful of good folk to spend time with in this regard. So that's interesting. So did you have a question for her or any?
Well, I mean, it has been very, I don't want to say challenging. The last, 5 to 10 years, a lot has happened. And yes, for the last part of, discernment has been a very useful tool, also very difficult to learn just because, I've been, because of my beginning of being abandoned and going from a foster home to an adoptive home and then having my adoptive father passed when I was 13. Abandonment has been my kind of theme. And so I've been sort of searching for that, spiritual family. And at one point I thought I found it and there were lots of great things that were going on, but then the discernment of the betrayal and, certain things that happened around that. It's been a challenging few years. And health-wise, there were some big things that came up. And this year has been really focused on getting those back into alignment. And my body must feel somewhat in alignment because I started getting my periods again. And it's like, okay, I'm really at an age where I don't feel that I necessarily need it. But I guess it's good confirmation for me to know that my body's a little bit happy.
Flowing. Well, it's funny because those grandmother's listening to you comment, and she says, yes, your body will sort its own hormones out shortly enough, but it is flowing in all of the directions. And I do not really see anything out of balance that much in your whole body, other than you just need more rest and to continue as everyone needs to fortify your adrenals. This aspect that you have mentioned about being abandoned and the theme of vigilance that you have had for people, if you think of this cloistering away or this synthesizing, you're not hiding from the world and you are not abandoning any of the people that you are entrusted for caring for. But if you think, I must take 30% of my energy and just let things gel or synthesize as to what's next, as an older sibling, as an older sister of humanity, let us say, you sometimes just need to regroup to decide where you can lead people next too. And so even though it may feel like you are setting some things down, you always like to collect and never let anyone feel abandoned the way that you have known intimately in the past. But you might need to set some of the tasks down or defer some of the tasks so that you can go and decide as the older sibling of humanity where you're going to lead the younger ones next. Mm. So you are not abandoning them when you're stepping away to your cabin, as it were, symbolically. You are fortifying yourself. You are looking at maps in your mind. You are deciding what is best for your tribe, for your community. And you are responsible in doing that. And so you are actually able to serve everyone better by being able to look at that piece of the puzzle that may make it feel more comfortable for you to not feel as if you are abandoning others.
That's an interesting way of looking at it, because I would say that, you know, the last few years I probably have hibernated more than I used to, but not in a way that was necessarily benefiting me. So I think making that switch, I like that.
Well, grandmother says there is a difference between, there are three hibernations that humans do. There's a hibernation to hide for safekeeping. This is good medicine. There is a hibernation to fortify, to rest, which is what you are doing. And then there is a hibernation to synthesize, to gel, to create something new. Just as you would hibernate a baby inside of yourself to create a new life, you are creating something new. And so you have gone now from, you have never hidden, you have managed to get yourself to safekeeping with different tools. You did not have to hide to get yourself to safekeeping. And this is a very strong, strong testimony of your strength. You have done your hibernation now to heal and to rest. And now it is the hibernation time to plan or to strategize and just to let things come to you that you would like to show. If you are creating a path for others, which you have been doing for most of your career, you need to know where the next path is going to be.
Yes.
And we cannot get that just by running out over one hill and dale in your costume with your tutu. She says, you need to just get off your horse and sit in the cabin and look at some maps and decide where you want to bring your people next.
Nice.
So she's just smiling and she's giving you a gift of, it looks as if, I thought it was a mirror at first, but it's something you would hold in your hand like an old-fashioned mirror. But when you look at it, it's just stone. One side is turquoise, the other side is malachite. And she says the turquoise stone speaks of your woman power and of the sacredness of the turquoise stone that often is gifted between women to acknowledge their silent power that they have. The malachite speaks to the younger generation who will be listening to you next to follow you where you decide we are going to go. And so they are eager, they have energy, their energy will inspire you. And so just get your plan together. You have the entire year to do it. You need to have it done by next year.
Right.
But it will be a good year of malachite planning, and more and different audiences will continue to follow you. So she smiles and says, be blessed. Thank you, grandmother. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can enjoy that contrast of the you on the tutu, the tutu on the backs of horses, and get to the mats in the cabin. But the nice thing about the cabin, Lori, is that it doesn't feel like the emergency mode is out of it.
Right.
And that's really, really helpful.
Yeah.
If people have felt that, and many people, I'm sure, who are listening to your shows are very spiritual and have been on the path a long time. I'm trying to think in my brain as to what webinar to listen to, and it's not in my mind. But if you want,
after the show,
I can let you know. Yeah,
yeah, I'll put them on the page so that people can look them up.
Okay. Well, the one that I'm thinking of is when we got to 2012 and we thought, okay, the world is ending yet again, right? How it's been ending so many times, we keep losing track. But then there was that whole year after 2013, almost into mid-2014, where everybody's energy just went like gone. Like we felt we didn't care anymore, or we were apathetic, or we've lost our drive, or, you know, it was the year where our ambition seemed to drop right out of our body. And she had a really, really great way of talking about that. Oh, it's called the paradigm of calm. That was looking for the word. And she said, you're not apathetic. You don't not care. You haven't lost, you know, you're not jaded. You're not, and she goes on and names all of these things that all of us were feeling. And she says, you're just feeling calm. Mm. And of course, as a species, we don't know what calm really is. Mm. We do now. We're getting it. But it's really taken us, you know, almost 2 years, from 2012 to 2014, to be okay with calm and then to decide what to do in calm. But it's still so new to us. Like, we're used to sheer survival.
Right.
And we've been motivated by sheer survival, and thankfully, because we're still here, right? And it worked. But now when we switch to the paradigm of calm, it's so suspiciously weird that, you know, to go in your cabin feels like that calm. Mm. But it's almost like, I can't just go over here and be calm and have a cup of tea and decide what I want to do or think about things. It's like, wait, I got to get out there and save everybody, save the world, emergency, emergency. It's like, no, get that cup of tea in there and keep feeling the calm, because that's what people are going to be learning from you as well, right?
Right.
Whatever we learn for ourselves going, taking those two steps first,
right.
We just have to teach to everybody we know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was lovely. And I would love to have you come back even, you know, a couple times, just to sort of give inspiration and messages and talk about your work. And I think, you know, everything that you're doing is amazing. I would love to keep in touch, and I'm glad that we have had this opportunity where we're finally creating some space to do that. So
yeah.
Thank you.
Now that the emergencies are all over,
yeah, exactly.
We could start networking with others who have been doing the same.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, big hugs to you and to your audience and listeners, and thanks for having me on here, and I will look forward to more chats in the future as well.
Great. Well,
all right. Take care.
You too. You've been listening to News for the Heart. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with Lori Wilson and her spirit guide, grandmother, and all the work that she's been doing. If you want more information, go to her website, inneraccess101.com. All right, thank you, and we'll be back.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.